Okay, today's daf is Tzadi Gimel. We're going to go back and review from where we were yesterday. We had a question, the big question that we've been dealing with for over an amud and a half, about is he eating when the worker gets to eat on the job? Is he eating the food he gets? Is it like an increase to his wages and it's his actually? Or is it coming from a place of tzedakah, from God basically, that God says, I'm going to, almost like we described maybe a human rights type thing, that he's worthy of getting this stuff, Mishal Shamayim, but that therefore it's not his and he can't use it to give to other people. So we were in the middle of this case. It starts about 20 lines from the bottom, maybe something like that. Tashma. Kotzeitz adam al yedei atzmo, al yedei b'nei ubito agdolim, al yedei avdo v'shivchato agdolim, v'al yedei ishto, mipnei sheyesh behen dat. So he can, if one of those people are working, he's allowed to say, one of the, you know, someone who's related to him, his wife, his children, his avadim, who are all gdolim, if they're working for someone, he can say to that person, I'm going to take the money instead, and they are not going to eat on the job, right? Because we learned already that you're allowed to say that instead of getting food, you're allowed to get the money's worth for it. So he can make that arrangement beforehand, but he can't do it. Okay, but he can't do it for all the others. Lo yedei behemto isn't really because ain't bo dad, it's because of the lo tachsom shor b'disho, right? You're not allowed to do it to the animal. But he can't do it for a katan because they don't have dad. So now we're going to, I charted this all out. Okay, so the first hanacha we're going to, the first assumption that we're going to assume is that why is he making arrangements for his wife or his older children? It must be, it must be that they're reliant on him for food and that's why he's making arrangements for them. Now, if that's the case, so that would then explain why he can't make an arrangement for the little children, because it must be, even though he's malele mizonot and their money's his money, we're not talking about money here. It's not an issue of if you work, the money's yours. It's an issue of Mishal Shamayim. And therefore, he can't make an arrangement for the ketanim, because who is he to say, right? It's a God-given gift to the children. The children have rights to it. And therefore, we can't say that. So it must be, it's Mishal Shamayim. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. Right? He should be allowed to arrange also for the ketanim. So that's the first assumption. The Gemara now rejects this assumption. Again, then that would give us an answer, and we know that the answer is b'malele mizonot. I'm sorry, the answer is it's Mishal Shamayim. But now the Gemara says, no, hacha b'mayaskinam b'she'ei malele mizonot. Really, it's a case where he doesn't give them food in general. In which case, and now we're going to have to bigger question, which is, yihachi gdolim nami. So then, if he doesn't have any relationship with them in terms of food, that he's not supplying them with food, then what rights at all does he have for all the gdolim? So the answer is gdolim yadeh v'kamachlin, as he was intervening on their behalf, making a deal for them, but they agreed to it. In other words, he was just kind of helping them out, but they agreed to it. Okay? The assumption is, by the way, it's also they agreed to it that he get the money. In other words, he's the father, and the kid said, okay, fine, you can get the money, we won't eat, you can take the money for yourself. What's happening here is he's not negotiating for them that they're going to get the money instead. He's really negotiating, it seems like, that he's going to get the money for the food, and they won't eat on the job, and he'll get money instead. Okay? But for whatever reason, even though he's not malelem, that's why the Gemara assumed it must be he's malelem his own note. And that's why he gives them food, and therefore they're giving him the money for this. It goes into his pot.
They get the money of the work. We're just talking about the money.
Yeah,
the food.
Just the money of the food. So, okay, so that's what the Gemara now has to say in order to say, well, you could still explain it this way. So now we're going to say, wait, I think we have another way to explain an answer to this question, okay? And for that, we're going to bring this Braita, and you can see now there's going to be four different ways to understand the Braita, okay? And then we're going to have a fifth attempt, which is going to return it back to the first. So basically, all of these are going to be knocked down, except in the end, we're going to go back to the first answer, which is basically going to be the conclusion of our sugya, and we are going to finally get an answer to this question, or maybe not exactly an answer, but an answer that's not an answer. Okay. V'hatana Rabbi Yoshai, kotzeitz adam al yedei atzmo v'al yedei ishto, aval lo yedei behemto, v'lo yedei bino ubito agdolim, aval lo al yedei b'no b'to aktanim. Right, so that's what we saw before. That's like the Mishnah that he can arrange for himself, for his wife, for his right, but not for his animal, for his older children, but not for his younger children. So far, that's the same. It's just a different order, right? It doesn't say these yes, those no. It says this yes and not that. This yes and not that. Okay, it's just comparing. But then the last line is different. V'kotzeitz al yedo avdo v'shivchato aknanim ben gedolim ben ktanim. Okay, and that seems to disagree with our Mishnah that said the shifcha and the eved is only if they're gedolim, but not if they're ktanim. And our Mishnah said, right, that, by the way, this is the next Mishnah, what we've been reading until now, is the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that that you can't do for avdo v'shivchato aktanim. So what's going to be the resolution to this contradiction? My lav, idi v'idi b'ma'aleh lehem esono. Shouldn't we assume, let's take the basic assumption, it must be he's giving them food. Right, again, the basic, if we can say it this way, the more simple reading would be that he has monetary, right? He's giving them food, and that's why he's taking their rights to their food. And then, what's the difference? Why does one say that Avadim and Shifcha Ktanim, he can take their stuff? Because Mishalo Ochel, if they're eating Mishalo, then they have monetary rights to this, and they can pass that on to somebody else. And our Mishnah, which says he can't do anything for the ketanim, is going like Mishel Shamayim Huachel, meaning the Eved or the Shivcha ketanim are eating a God-giving gift, and they can't transfer that to the owner. So that's the first assumption, which would mean that would answer our question. Now, why did I say it's an answer? It's not really an answer. The answer would be it's a machloket tanaim, okay? That it goes down to a tanaitic debate. Is it Mishalo? Is it Mishel Shamayim? So we don't actually get an answer. But we see that the Tanaim actually argued this case. So, now the Gemara is going to reject this. Like I said, we're going to eventually go back, and that's going to be the bottom line of the sugya. Okay, but in the meantime, the Gemara is going to suggest all different possibilities, and then reject them all along the way. So then they say, Lo, tekule alma mishalohu ochel. Everyone agrees, you could explain, everyone agrees that he's eating his own stuff. But lo kasha, when the Braita says he's ma'aleh lemezonot, that's when he has rights even to the avadim shifcha ktanim. But when it's mishalo ochel, right, if you hold mishalo ochel, then they can, right, then he can, one second, sorry, if everyone agrees it's mishalo ochel, so if it's ma'aleh lemezonot, then they have rights to it and they can pass it on to him. But if it's b'she'em ma'aleh lemezonot, then it's theirs entirely, and there's no reason he can't start making arrangements for them because he doesn't provide them with food. So then they're going to say, wait a minute. B'mayu kimta b'ma'aleh lemezonot, if you're saying that it's b'ma'aleh lemezonot, right, the Mishnah, so then ihachi ktanim nami likutz lehu. If, I'm sorry, the bright, one second, did I do this the reverse? If he's ma'aleh lemezonot, then I see on my chart I did something wrong here. If he's ma'aleh lemezonot, then one second. Marsavar b'shalov ochel v'lo kasha kam e ma'aleh lemezonot ubraita b'ma'aleh lemezonot. Right. So then, right, the question, I put this in the wrong place on the chart, the koshi and all that. If we're going to say b'mayu kimta, the braita, we're going to say it's b'ma'aleh lemezonot. So ihachi ktanim nami likutz lehu. Right, then it doesn't make any sense that, right, why is he distinguishing between ktanim who are avadim and ktanim who are his children, right? If he's ma'aleh lemezonot, then he should allow to also negotiate for his own children. So what's the answer? Tzarayu debino bito ktanim lo zache lerachmana. Okay, the Torah didn't give him rights to basically make his children suffer. What you see here is a little, right, on the one hand it's saying, this is what I talked about yesterday, that it's almost like a tsar balei chayim, right? The comparison to the animal, that to not allow the children to eat would be difficult for them. The difficult part is that when it comes to the avadim, they don't really worry about that, right? There's a bit of a mistreatment of avadim here.
Didn't we learn to vote, or one of those that the father has the obligation to feed his children?
Ah, yafeh. So now we're going to talk about, well, It's right. So now we're going to get into that exactly, that machloket, about can you say, I say me, what really we're going to talk about is in terms of the Evet. Okay? And okay, so let's get to it right now about the Evet. So now we're going to say, so now, b'mayu kimta lematnitin. So now we have a question on the Mishnah. Okay, that was a question on the explanation of the Braita. Now we're going to say about the Mishnah. If we're making the Mishnah b'she'ema lele mizonot, so hanicha, if it's the Mishnah talking about a case where he doesn't give them food, right? So, hanicha leman damar ein harav yachol omar la'evet aseimi ve'eni zancha, shapir. If we hold that an adon is not allowed to say to his evet, listen, work for me and I'm not going to give you any food, right? So then we can, right, if we say that he's not allowed to say that, then it makes sense, right? Because if he doesn't give him mizonot, then what will happen according to this? He's not allowed to say, I won't give you food, right? In other words, work for me and I won't give you food. So what does that mean? If he won't give him food, then the work the Eved does is for himself, right? He gets the Maasei Adayim of his, right? He gets his salary. Okay, but going back to your question about the salary, when it comes to the Eved here, the point is that the Eved gives his salary to the Adon, right? But if we say, you can't say Asei Mivayin Zancha, then the Eved's making his own salary. So then it makes sense, right, that right, if he's not giving him mizonot, then he has no zchut, and therefore, obviously, eino kotzeitz, right? If he has no zchuyot to the guy's Maasei Adayim, the Eved, well then, obviously, we can say he can't make any arrangement for the Eved. But, so there's a problem with the Mishnah's explanation, because why? Lemanda amar yachol harav lomar le'eved esei mi veini zancha, that I'm not going to support you. Right? This is a machlokah we saw before. Can he say this or not? So, ma'ika lememar. So then, if you say that he's allowed to say this, then he still has zchuyot to the Maasei Adayim of the Eved. In which case, what? In which case, if we say that Mishalohu Ochel, remember, this is all, if right now we're on Nisayon, right, the second attempt, which says everyone agrees Mishalohu Ochel, if the father, or the Adon in this case, has rights to the Eved's Maasei Adayim, even if he doesn't give him sustenance. So in this case, what should happen? The guy says, you know, he wants to lakot. He wants to say, I'm getting your food, which is really, mishalohu ochel, it's part of his wages. He should be able to get his wages, you follow? Because the wages belong to the Eved. But if the Adon doesn't provide him with food, right, because that's the Mishnah, we're saying it's b'she'em alel emezonot. According to this interpretation, even if he doesn't provide him with food, he's still should get the guy's wages. He still has rights to the wages, right? That means, Yachol Adam Lomar La'Eved, Asei Imi, right? I'm going to get your Maasei Adayim, Asei Imi, Ve'eni Zancha. And I'm not going to support you, which means what? I'm not going to give you food, which means that in this case, he should be allowed to be Lakutz. He could say, listen, I'm taking your food. They go to me because the food, according to this interpretation, it's Mishalohu Ochel. Food is like wages. And the owner has rights to the wages, according to this interpretation. You follow? Aseimi be'eni zancha means, I don't need to give you food, and I always have rights to your wages. So if he has rights to his wages, he should be allowed to say, listen, you can't eat on the job, and I'm getting the money for it. That should work. Maybe it's not fair. But according to that, manda amar, it should work. So therefore, this can't be the interpretation. In other words, the Mishnah doesn't make sense that to say, it's both b'shalohu ochel, right? Meaning it's wages, and it's a case where he doesn't give him his own note, and that's why he's not allowed to make an arrangement, because even according to that, he should be able to make an arrangement. If you say, right,
then he has no way to eat. The slave.
It's true, the slave has no way to eat. He has to find some other way to eat. It's a problem. Yes. Okay, so anyway, Ella, idi v'idi b'she'ema lele mizonot. Everyone agrees that it's not a case where he gives him food. Ubaha pligi. Damar savar yachol. Umar savar ein yachol. Ah, now they say that's exactly the machloka between them. Can the guy, it's when he doesn't give him food. And the question is, can he say aseimi ve'eni zancha? Right? So if you say he can say to the Eved aseimi ve'eni zancha, right, then he's allowed to be lakutz, right? And if he doesn't, if you say he can't say it, right, then that would be our Mishnah. if he can't say, he doesn't give him food, and he doesn't let him eat on the job, well, then he's not ra'oid his ma'aseh yadayim. So therefore, we'd say, right, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says lo yakutz. So they say maybe that's the whole machloka between them. Now, according to that, what comes out? Our Mishnah holds, you can't say aseh mi'veni zancha, and the Braita holds, you can say aseh mi'veni zancha. So on that, we're going to have a question. For Rabbi Yochanan da'amar, Rabbi Yochanan da'amar yachol harav, Rabbi Yochanan says you can say aseh mi'veni zancha. According to that, right, that goes against the Mishnah. You follow? It holds like the Braita. So Rabbi Yochanan would hold like the Braita over a Mishnah. That doesn't make any sense. Shavik manitim ba'avi kebraita. And there's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that you're allowed to say aseh mi'veni zancha. You're going to think he's going to, when there's a machloket between, if that's the whole thing here is that, according to this interpretation, that's the exact machloket between the Mishnah and the Braita. But generally, we're going to hold lamase, if we have a machloket between a Mishnah and a Braita, we're going to hold like a Mishnah. Mishnah always has priority. So how can Rabbi Yochanan side like a Mishnah? So that can't be, and therefore that can't be what's going on between the Mishnah and the Braita. It's not that that's the machloka between the Mishnah and the Braita, and therefore we must understand the Mishnah and the Braita differently. Ela, tikulei alma, right? That was all assuming mishalo huochel, but now we're going to say no. Everyone agrees mishal shamayim huochel. It's really a gift mishamayim. Velo matzei katzitz, right? And therefore, he can't, everyone agrees that the father, the Adon, can never make an arrangement. Well, obviously, what do you mean? The Braita said you can. So how are we going to explain that? My kotzeitz, da'ama Rabbi Yoshaya, mizonot. It means he has to provide him with food. In other words, okay, it's he explains mizonot. What can he do, okay? He gives him mizonot before he goes on the job. Kotzeitz doesn't mean what we think it means to the Braita. In other words, the kotzeitz and the mission, the kotzeitz and the Braita are not the same kotzeitz. Okay? What does kotzeitz mean? Kotzeitz means you can make a prearrangement. Okay? Now what we're going to say is, kotzeitz doesn't really mean that. Kotzeitz means you can designate. And as kotzeitz is really designate. So it could be kotzeitz. I mean, you designate a particular amount. You know, you make an arrangement. What can he do? He can, before the guy goes to the job, he can work out with the owner of the field. Okay, this is actually the opposite direction. Instead of saying it's going to be in the best interest of the Adon, now we're going to say, no, he's going to make an arrangement that's in the best interest of the owner of the field. What's he going to say? I'll feed him before he goes to work so that he's not so hungry and he eats less on the job. That's what it means. It means kotzeitz means he sets aside food for the Eved to eat before he goes to work, so that he'll eat less on the job. In other words, it was part of the arrangement he made. Listen, hire my Eved, but I'll make sure he eats before so that he doesn't eat too much on the job. Okay? That's what it means, kotzeitz in the Braita. Which isn't the same eino kotzeitz in our Mishnah. It's something totally different.
And therefore you pay me more, he says to the employer?
I don't know. Maybe he just wanted the guy to get the job. In other words, I think that's the issue. Maybe he gets paid more. I'm not sure. I don't know if he'd actually pay him more. We're going to reject this interpretation. It was just a hava mina, okay? So then they're going to say, right, what's the problem? That might work for this thing, but dekavate gabe behemto teve nikutzla. What? So then, according to this, what did it say? But you can't do it for a behema. What does that mean? I can't feed my behema before I send him to work in your field? Like, of course I could do that if I want to. In other words, the rest of the Braita doesn't make sense. Is, what do you mean you can't do it for the behema? Of course you could do it for the, but the truth is all the rest of it makes sense because you could do it for everybody else according to the Braita. The Braita, the only case you couldn't do it was for the behema. So what does it mean? I can't feed my behema before he goes to work in someone else's field so that he eats less in the person's field? Of course I can. Right? I'm not hurting anybody. I'm actually helping them. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense. Ela behaka miflige. So therefore, we've tried all sorts of interpretations. We must be able to now go back to the first one, which is behaka miflige demar sevar mishalo huochel umar sevar mishal shamayim huochel. In which case, we're going to say there's a machloket tana'im about whether it's mishalo or whether it's mishal shamayim, and that's what these two machlokot are. So we tried all different ways of saying maybe you could say the Mishnah and the Braita are arguing about this, about that, different cases, blah blah blah. Nothing worked. It must be they're arguing about the same case, and the whole machloket is our issue. So we basically asked a question, and in the end we got an answer that the Tanaim had the same question, and it broke down into two, right? There's two schools of thought. Now, according to what we said before, the Shavik Matnitim, right? We wouldn't be Shavik Matnitim v'Avi Kibraita, so maybe you would say then, we paskin like our Mishnah, which is Mishal Shamayim Huachel, in which case it's not transferable to other people, okay? Which is exactly why he can't be kotzeitz to the avdei v'shibchata, right? Or the yeladim haketanim, because he can't take their food, right, and give it to other people. He'll give it to himself. Okay. Now we're going to read the Mishnah inside, okay, which we already know. Kotzeitz adam v'yidei atzmo, o al yidei b'no b'to agdolim, al yidei avdei v'shibchato agdolim, right? And that's because even though it's mishal shamayim, right, he can make it, they can be mochel on it and say, listen, we don't want rights to our food. You can have the rights to our food. Right? And therefore they can be mochel. Again, the way we explained it now is because it's Mishal Shamayim and he has no rights to it. Right? And not to the Eved or the Shivcha Ketanim, because again, he has no rights to it. And they don't have knowledge, right? They don't have dat, that they can be mochel and say, listen, I'm giving you my rights. The lo yidei behem tom upnei she'ein behem dat, also not a behemah. Hasocheret ha-poalim, this we also saw yesterday, la'asop b'neta revai shelo, right? If he hires workers to work in his field, that's neta revai, in which case they're not allowed to eat it, because they have to bring it to Yerushalayim to eat, which obviously a worker's not going to do that. Hare elu lo yochlu, but im lo hodiam podeu machilam. But if he didn't tell them beforehand, and we said this is because it looks like a mekach ta'ut, therefore he has to redeem the fruits and let them eat. Nit persui hulav, again we saw this one also, if his pressed figs broke apart and he hires someone to put them back together, nit patchu chaviotav, his barrels of wine opened up and he wants them to be resealed, hare elu lo yochlu, right, they can't eat on the job because it's at a later stage where there's already gemar malacha, and therefore the worker doesn't have rights once it's gemar malacha. Im lo hodian, but if he didn't tell them, then ma'asero machilan, he has to take the ma'asro to allow them to be able to eat. Because again, it looks like a mekach ta'ut. Shomrei peirot, now we get one line that we didn't see yet, which is people who watch fields. Okay, this is going to be a good question. If you watch a field, so is that considered a worker who's allowed to eat, right? Generally, we thought you're working in the field. But what if you're just watching, protecting the fields? Okay, what type of a job is this? So, ochlin mehilchot medina, aval lo mina Torah. Lo mina Torah. You have rights to eat because of the law of the land, but not because of the Torah. Okay? Not by Torah law. By Torah law, you can't eat because this isn't what type of case that the workers were allowed to eat. But not mina Torah. We're going to see more detail about this in the Gemara. Shomrei Perot. So, first of all, they don't have to deal with any of the first parts of the Mishnah because we already did. We dealt with that already yesterday and the end of today. I mean, the beginning of today. So now, Shomrei Peirot. Now we're going to have a machloket Rav and Shmuel. I charted at the bottom here. Amarav, lo shanu ela shomrei ginot upardesin, aval shomrei gitot va'aremot ochlim min haTorah. There's two different types of shmira. Shmira could be in stuff that's mechubar before gemar malacha. Remember, the whole heter to eat is when? El kelyecha, right? El kelyecha lo titen, when you're putting it in your kli, that's when, in the kli of the balabayit, that's when you're allowed to eat, meaning once you're picking the fruits, the harvest. Now, if you're watching a pardes or a gina, when are you watching it? Way before the harvest time. That's the whole time when it needs watching. Once you're harvesting, you don't need shomrim, really. So the assumption is, in the earlier stage, you don't ever get to eat anything, okay? In other words, I'm sorry. The opposite. Rav says that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Shomrei ginot upardesim don't have rights from the Torah to eat because it's before gemar malacha, it's before the harvest. However, they do have, right? Shomrei gitot va'aremot, but they can eat midine medina. But shomrei gitot va'aremot ochlim min haTorah. But if you're watching the stuff in the gut, let's say while they're doing the wine press, overnight they want someone to watch the stuff or whenever it is, right, when they're on their breaks, or maybe you're watching it while they're doing it. That kind of shomer is during the time when the worker's allowed to eat, and therefore he's zakai even according to Torah law. Why is this? Kasavar, Rav Mas told, Mishamer ka'ose ma'aseh dami. The whole question here, this goes back to, we had the whole question, is speech like a ma'aseh? Is watching like a ma'aseh? I was thinking about chayalim who do shmirot, right? I mean, that's work, right? And though sometimes they're like, oh, it's so boring, I was doing shmirah, you know, you feel like you're not doing anything, right? So shmirah has this in-between thing. On the one hand, you're doing something. On the one hand, you're not actually doing something, right? Unless something happens, you're not really in action. If a robber comes, so then you're in action, right? But if no robbers come, you're just kind of sitting there, right? So question is, how to view shmirah? It's a very interesting question. Shmirah in general. Yeah.
Isn't this also kind of a dangerous precedent to let the law of the land supersede Torah law?
The question, what exactly this... So first of all, we have a concept, dina demachut adina, that you have to hold by the law of the land. I'm also not 100% sure when it says Hilchot Medina, Rashi says here, Kfar Nahagu Kein. I don't think he means it's the law of the land. I think he means this is what's common.
Customary.
He doesn't mean the law of the particular land that they're living in. It means more, this is what was customary to do. It's a strange language. I mean, actually, it would be interesting to see if it comes up anywhere else, like this kind of Lashon, Hilchot Medina. I don't remember seeing it anywhere else. So it really means it's just customary that people do it. So now, basically, according to this, we have Shmirah is a real job, according to Rav. Since it's a real job, it's going to be just like anything else. If it's the harvest time, like in the Gittot, so then you have from the Torah. If it's not, then it's going to be what the Mishnah was talking about, which is, it's Hilchot Medina, it's customary to just allow them to eat anyway. But now Shmuel has a different approach. Shmuel Amar, Lo Shanu Ela Shomrei Gittot Varemot. When it says that you only get it not from the Torah, but Mihilchot Medina, that was the Shomrei Gittot Varemot. They, because they're working at the same time that all the other workers are eating, they're not really working. Okay, we'll see in a minute. He's going to say, he holds that Mishamer is Lav Kose Ma'aseh Dami. He's not really doing anything, right? It's not real work. So because of that, right? You could see like the labor unions coming out against this, right? What do you mean it's not real work? It's not real work. Therefore, when are we going to allow them to eat? And this is why it seems like it's not actually law of the land, but it is Jewish law or Jewish custom, because since that's the time when we allow the workers to eat, we'll also allow the Shomrim to eat. Medina, Medina. Okay? But when are we not going to allow, right? Aval Shomrei Ginotu Pardesim Einam Ochlim Lo Min HaTorah V'lo Milcha Medina. They, right, if you're watching the orchards and stuff when it's before the time, so no way. Like, you don't get anything. Can't eat at all. Not even Mehilchot Medina. And that's because he holds Kasavar Mishamer Lav Kosem Aseh Dami. Okay, he's not like Osem Aseh. Okay, now we're going to have some questions on Shmuel. Mativ Rabacha Bar Rav Huna HaMishamer Tapara Mitame Begadim. If you're watching the Para Aduma, remember all the people who work with the Para Aduma, their clothes become Tameh, right? They have Tumah for a day and their clothes become Tameh. Everything, right? It's all that weird thing that the Para is Metaher, but the people who work for it become Tameh. So it's Metameh is clothes. V'i amart mishamer lav kose ma'aseh dami amai Metameh begadim. Right? Why should he get Tumah begadim if he's not even doing anything? Just for watching the Para he gets Tumah? In other words, if you say it's not work, well then, it's not even work that should be Metameh Begadim. So Amar Rabba Ra'ula, he says, oh, it's a side issue here. Gzeira Shema Yaziz Ba'ever. In other words, we're worried that if you're watching the Parah, maybe you'll touch it. And if once you touch it, you know, maybe you'll move a body part of his, in which case, then you'll be Metameh Begadim. So we're going to always make the Shomer Metameh Begadim just in case he does something to the animal. But not because there's actually work done in Shmirah. Second question. On Shmuel, Mativ Rav Kahana, HaMishamer Arba V'Chamesh Mikshaot. Okay, this is if you're watching 4 or 5 fields of kishuim, either these cucumbers or zucchinis. Harei ze lo yimalei kreso me'echad mehen, ela mikol echad ve'echad ochel lefi chashbon. 5 different people give him fields to watch. He's supposed to eat, right? Mix it up and don't eat all from one field, but eat a little bit from each field. Right? How's he eating? Right? The whole idea is we're assuming, when's he watching this? While they're in the ground, before Gemara Malacha, in which case, according to Shmuel, he said, Shomer Ginot Upardisim, don't get to eat at all. So obviously, what are we going to answer? Amar Rav Shimi Barashi, when's he watching these? Ba'akurin, once they're already uprooted. Ba'akurin Shanu, okay? That's what it means. So, akurin v'halonik marama laftan lemaaser. But wait, if they're already removed from the ground, then what happens? They already become chayv v'maaser. Remember, it's only that in-between time when it's the harvest, but they haven't yet been with chayv v'maaser that you're allowed to eat. But once they're chayv v'maaser, you're not. And the kishuim, if they're detached from the ground, it's not like the wheat where you have to still do the dash and all the other things. But once they're attached from the ground, they're attached from the ground. They're chayv v'maaser. So what do they answer? We saw this before. Shaloni tal pika shelahem. Remember, they still have that. The stems, the leaves, the blossoms, something that's still on. Okay, in which case they're not chayav maaser, but they are detached.
Kishuim aren't edible when they're raw anyhow. They still have to be processed.
Yeah, but they're chayav maaser before you process them. True. Right. It's not a matter of having them ready to eat. It's having them ready to be sold or... Right, you buy them raw, so they're already chayv
maaser. Out there in the shetach with them.
Right, although you could eat them actually raw. I mean, they're not the tastiest, but... You could eat them. Amar Rav Ashi. Now we're going to have a proof for Shmuel. Kavatei de Shmuel mistabra. Okay, here I can prove Shmuel. Ditznan, it says in the Mishnah, ve'elu ochli min haTorah. Okay, now what? Okay, look back at our Mishnah. I put it over here so you could see it. Okay, look at the second side of your sheet. The Mishnah says two things. Now the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah on Pezayin. Okay, ve'elu ochli min haTorah, ha'oseh b'mechubar lakarka b'shakamar malacha u'betalush v'chulei. So what does that imply? These eat from the Torah. What does it sound like? Michlal, de'ika de'loka acha min haTorah, ela mehilchot medina. We didn't pay attention to this, but what does it say? These people can eat by Torah law, which seems to imply what? There's people who can eat by Torah law, and then there's people who can't eat by Torah law, but can eat by custom. But ema seifa, now another strange thing about this Mishnah was, ve'elu she'enan ochlin. It listed who can eat, and then it listed who can't eat. Now, once it lists who can eat, it should be obvious who can't eat, right? Because if you remember, we read that Mishnah, it's a little strange. It says, if it's mechubar on that, and then if it's talus, you can't. Obviously, right? In other words, you didn't need that whole second part. So once you have the second part, what does it mean? V'may einan ochlin. Ile ma she'en ochlin min haTorah ela mehilchot medina haynu reisha. The reisha already tells you, right, there's people who can't eat min haTorah, but they can't eat mehilchot medina. So if you want to say that these people can't eat min haTorah, but they can eat mehilchot medina, hainu reisha. That's already implicit from the reisha. Elalav, so what must it mean? She'ein ochlim lo min haTorah v'lo mehilchot medina. So it must be the second part of that Mishnah. I'll read it to you. You can see it on the chart. Elu she'ein ochlim is ha'oseh b'mechubar lakarka b'sha'ah she'ein gmar malacha, right? You're stuffed attached on the ground when there's no gmar malacha, like earlier in the season. Ubitalush minakarka meachar shedigmaram alachton. It's already chayav maaser. Ubidavar sheengidulom in aaretz, and things that don't grow at all. Now, what's so? Therefore, we're going to assume that those things you can't eat from the Torah, and you can't eat mehilchot medina, and things that are in between, right? That we talked about before. Those are things that you can do mehilchot medina. So, therefore, what are we going to say? How does this relate to our case? So, if the seifa is She'ein ochlim lo min haTorah v'lo mehilchot medina, umay nihu, right? And what are these things? So, like listed in the Mishnah, seven mechubar lakarka b'shah she'en gmar malacha. And therefore, what will we add? If it says there, if you're working b'mechubar lakarka b'shah she'en gmar malacha, then kol she'ken, if you're shomer, gino tu pardesim, right? Obviously, if you're watching them, right? If you're working in the field when everything's attached, before things are ripe, and you can't eat, not even by Hilchot Medina, then obviously if you're watching the field, you can't eat Hilchot Medina. So therefore, that proves Shmuel, who holds that the Shomrei Pardesot V'Ginot can't eat at all, as opposed to Rav, who said that they can eat Hilchot Medina. So Rav would have to say somehow, he'd have to read this Mishnah, that the second part is She'en Ochlin Mi Min haTorah, but they would be Ochel Mea Medina. Okay? Tov. Now we're going totally into something different. Okay, back to Dinei Shomrim. Arba'a Shomrim Heim, Shomer Chinam Vashoel, Nosei Sachar Vasocher. Okay, by the way, I believe that this is the first Mishnah that says this, actually, right? This is, even though we've said this a million times, okay, we've never, right? This is the Mishnah. This is it. Okay, there's four Shomrim, the Shomer Chinam, the Shoel, the Nosei Sachar, and the Socher. Right, Shomer Chinam Nishba Lakol. Remember, he swears on everything, right? That it was right? Unless, except for pshia, basically, and he gets to be patur. Hashoel mishalem et hakol, he has to pay everything, even ones. Nosei sachar, which is a shomer sachar, v'hasocher nishba'in al hashfura v'al hashfuya v'al hameta, u'mishalmim et ha'avidav et ha'gneva, right? They have to swear that if ones happened to the animal and are patur, but if it's gneva v'aveda, then they'd have to pay. Okay. So obviously, if you remember, we had a whole debate about the socher. This Mishnah clearly says the socher, the renter, is just like a person who gets paid to watch. So the Gemara is going to obviously ask that right now. So man tana arba ashomrim. Who's the tana who holds there's four shomrim? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir. So what a strange question, though. Who says there are arba shomrim? Everyone says there's arba shomrim, right? So Amar le Rav le Rav Nachman, mi ika delele arba shomrim? What do you mean? This is Rabbi Meir, but other people don't think there's four shomrim? Amar le hachi kamin alecha. This is what I meant to say. Man tana socher kenosei sachar. Who's the one who holds like this Mishnah of the arba shomrim, which means who holds that the socher is like the nosei sachar? That's Rabbi Meir. So now, if you remember, they said, "Bahar Rabbi Meir, if Chashamin Ale." Wait, doesn't Rabbi Meir say the opposite? D'tanya, it says in the Brayta, "Socher Ketzav Meshalem." Rabbi Meir Omer Keshomer Chinam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Keshomer Sachar. You mixed it up. Our Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Avua, Ibcha Katane. Do you remember there? We had this a few times where we keep bringing up that there's two versions of who said what. So obviously, the person who was right when he asked Rabbi Avua. Rabbi Avua thought that it was the opposite, right? So he's saying, I believe that this is Rabbi Meir's opinion. So, ihachi, if really that's the case, arba'a, shloshaninu, then there's really three types of shomrim, right? If you want to categorize it and give it a number, really there's three. There's the shomer chinam, there's the shoel, and then there's the nosei sachar, and the socher is one category. So, amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, dalid shomrim v'dinehem shlosha. Well, there's four different shomrim. There might be three categories of classifications of laws, right, about how we deal with them, but there's really four. Okay, now we're going to have some cases. There was a ro'eh that was taking his son into the by the bridge of the Nahar Papa, or Sarig Chadaminayhu, or maybe, actually, this one wasn't on the bridge. This is on the banks of the river. One of them slipped, v'nafat l'mayam, falls into the water. Ata l'kamei d'rabba, upatre. So the question is this ones or not? So Rabba comes and says, right, he's a ro'eh, he's getting paid, he's a nosei sachar. Rabba says, this is ones, he's pater. Amar, mayhavale l'mayabad, hanatar k'denatre inshe, right? What could he have done? He was watching his flock just like anybody watches his flock, right? You don't hold the hands of all, you know, of the right, of your sheep. You let them go and you watch them. So, okay. Amar le Abaye, ela me'ata, according to what you're saying, basically Abaye is going to say, I don't get what you're saying, Rabbi. You're saying, what's the difference between a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar? What did I pay the guy for if not to do a better shmirah? So according to what you're saying, now Abaye is going to ask all sorts of questions. I'll give you other cases if you're going to pass them like this here. So then let's take your psak somewhere else. Let's try this one. Are you going to say that if you went into the city, the same time everybody goes into the city, and what was nahug was that the ro'im would go into the city, and for a few minutes they'd leave their sheep outside as they walk into the city, and that was generally nahug. And if something were to happen at that time, you're going to say, if you're a shomer sachar, you're going to be patur? What do you mean? Just because that's what ro'im do doesn't mean, like, what did I pay you to do if not to watch it more carefully? So what does Rabbah answer him? Amar le'in. No, I actually think that if that's what ro'im generally do, and as you're not supposed to watch them 24/7, the ro'im get a break here and there. They go into the city to buy some stuff. They go back out. They can leave their sheep for a little while. If something happens then, that's onus. Gana porta bi'idna deganu inshe hachanami depator. So by it continues. He says if you go to sleep for a little bit, right? Well, people generally go to sleep. You're going to say you're patur if something happened then? What do you mean? You're responsible. You're a ro'eh. Figure something out. Amar le in. Rabbah says no. That's right. That's typical. People do need to sleep, and therefore you're not responsible. Etive. So now we're going to ask some questions on Rabbah. So first, Abaye asked logical questions, right? Abaye just couldn't fathom that you're going to say a shomer sachar is patur from all these things. And comes Rabbah and says, actually, I think he is patur. So now Abaye is going to start bringing sources against him. Eluhain onsim, what are cases of ones? Sheshomer sachar patur alehen. Here we're going to see it explicitly, right? When is a shomer sachar patur mi ones? Kigon vatipol shva vatikachem ve'etan arim yikula fi charev. This is a pasuk from Eov about one of the things that happened to Eov, right? Where all his sheep, right? They basically attacked. These people came from Shva, and they attacked the people who the Ro'im, and they took all the sheep, and they killed the Na'arim. Okay, it was one of the tragedies that happened to him. So that's the kind of case, according to this source, that a Shomer Sachar is patur for, which sounds like only, armed robbery, basically. Okay, but anything less, you would be Chayav. So that would go against Rabba. So Amar Leh, Hatam b'chazane mata. Those were Shomrim who had the status of Shomrei Ha'ir. They had a high. As now he's going to say there's a distinction between Shomrei Sachar Rigilim, who are going to be Pater from all that stuff, and then there's Shomrei Sachar, who are watchers of the city, and they're the ones who have higher expectations for. Maybe their salary is higher too. Okay, second question, which is going to have the same type answer. Ad matai Shomrei Sachar Chayav Lishmor? To what extent does he have to watch? Ad kidei? Like Yaakov, what did Yaakov say to Lavan? Hayiti bayom achalani chore v'kerach balayla. Right? I work day and night, right? And I work like crazy. That's the level of shmirah you need for shomer sachar. So armalei, hatam nami b'chazanei demata. Now that's talking again when you hire someone to be the shomer ha'ir. Amalei, atu Yaakov avinu chazamata hava? What, you think, right? Amalei l'lavan natri right, okay. Chazamata, what? You think he was a shomer ha'ir? He wasn't hired to be a shomer ha'ir. So what they say, da'amalei l'lavan natri lach netiruta yeterata ki chazanei mata. It's that he says to Lavan at the end, right? He says, I watch your stuff like the highest level of shomer sachar. Okay, so. Okay, those are Rabba's answers. Etive, another question. Ro'esha haya ro'e v'hiniyach edro bala'ir. Ba ze'ev v'taraf, ba ari v'daras, ein umdim ilu hayasham hayamatzil. You don't, okay, let's say he leaves his eder, he goes into the city, and in the meanwhile, a wild animal came and attacked. So, we don't assess ilu hayasham hayamatzil, if he was there, would he have saved? Ela umdim oto im yachol lahatzil chayav, v'im lav patur. We try to assess if he has the potential, was there a way he could have saved them or not? If there was a way he could have saved them, then he's chayav, okay? If not, if he leaves his flock, and the type of attack was the kind of attack that he never could have fended off, then he's going to be patur, even though he left them. So my lav, don't we, you know, we're assuming right now that what's the case? Da'al b'ine da'ayle inche, right? That he left at the time when everyone else left, and that's why he's going to be patur. So then they say, lo, da'al b'ine de lo aile inche. In other words, it's a case where he went in when nobody went in, and that's why he's going to be chayav. In other words, Rabba's going to answer, why is he chayav in the case where he could have saved? Because he was negligent, right? He went in the case when nobody else went, and that's why he's chayav, and that answers his question. So, iha chayav mai patur. So then why should he be patur in the case where he could have? If he really, Bai's going to question him, if he really left at a time when he wasn't allowed to leave, even if he couldn't have fended them off, he should still be chayav. Why? Tchilato b'pshi'a v'safo b'ones chayav. What do we know? We know there's actually a machloket about this. But we hold that if you started out b'pshi'a and you ended up b'ones, you're chayav. So why would you be chayav? So now we're going to, why would you be patur if you even if you couldn't have fended them off? So what's the answer? Dishama kol aryeh va'al. It was a case where you heard the aryeh coming and you ran for your life. It wasn't pshia b'tchila, it was ones. So ihachi umdinoto, then what's this whole evaluating him? Could he have done it? My havale le me'abad. So then they say, hayalo lekadem b'ro'imu b'maklot. He could have, right, he could have figured out, right, bring some other people in maklot and go help them and go attack them. Ihachi ma'ir yashomer sachar afilu shomer chinam na'ami. But then any kind of shomer should have gotten ro'im and maklot. Daha amar hu da'amar, because you're the one who says, shomer chinam shayalo lekadem ro'im and maklot velo kidem is chayav. Even a shomer chinam is supposed to go get, you know, what do you call it? Bring in the reserves, you know, and help out to go attack the animals. So what are the answers? No, shomer chinam b'chinam and shomer sachar b'sachar. he was this source was talking about was, did he have to pay out of pocket? Only a shomer sachar would have to pay out of pocket. So then they say, well, how much does he have to pay out of pocket? Ad kama, ad kedei demehen. Okay, he'd have to pay, he'd have to hire people up to the amount the animal's worth. So now they say, wait a minute, v'hecha matzina b'shomer sachar shechaya ba'onsin. Who says he has to go pay out of pocket when some crazy thing happens, right? These robbers come, these wild animals come. He's got to go now pay out of pocket. No, it's not that he pays out of pocket. The hadar shakel to Miami balabayit. He gets money. He can then demand the money from the balabayit. So amale Rav Papa labayi hachi mina. In other words, so if he's getting it from the balabayit, so what's the difference, right? Whether he pay, like, what has he done? Nafkamina, in other words, if he pays out of pocket for the balabayit, up to the value of the animal, so what does he help the owner? The owner ends up, right? He'll just end up without his animal. He'll still have his money, right? Follow? In other words, what have you benefited if he's going to take the money straight from him anyway? Nafkamina, lekushra dechiyuta, inami leturchia terata. There's two benefits, right? You can figure these out. One is he's used to these animals. He'd rather have his animals back, even if he has to lose the value of the money of them, right? He has to pay out of pocket. Or it's just a headache for him to find new animals. It's tirchi yatera. Okay, we'll stop here just to summarize, though, recap the end, which is that the basic, which is that Rabbah and Abaye have a big machloket here, and tomorrow we're going to see who the rabbis paskin like, about what level of onsin, right? When we talk about ones, that you're a putcher, as a shomer sachar, but you're chayav for giving of aveda, right? So what's the in-between, right? When you have these cases that are sort of ones but not exactly ones, right, where do you put them and where do you fit them? And Rabbah thinks he's pacher, and Abaye thinks, no, that's the whole responsibility of a shomer sachar is to be dushmirah yitera, and he should be chayav. So we'll see who they side with tomorrow.